I'd like to ask the Lord for his help before we get started tonight. Father, we thank thee in Jesus' name for the health and strength we have to sit here and sing praise to thee and to thy beloved Son, for thy divine love for us, for thy care, thy matchless grace. Now we just come to thee and would request a blessing for each soul here in this room tonight, everyone who can hear, and we just pray that it might affect our lives and that it might be a blessing. We ask for thy help in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I have a subject on my heart, and it's a very simple word. It's the word change. Change is something we see all around us, all the time. We live in a changing world, and what I'm interested in talking about specifically tonight is not the changes happening around us, but me and you, us, changing us. And I want to look at three verses in the books of Corinthians, starting with one in 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is an incredible change. And this is a change that is very important that each one of you have experienced. This change is a transition change that's absolutely necessary. It's a transformation that each one of you needs to have experienced. And I wanted to take this change first because it's the most fundamental one. All the other changes that I'm talking about won't apply to you unless you've experienced this change. This change is what we know as salvation. It's when God performs that miracle and he creates something new inside you because you have faith and belief in his beloved Son. That is the first, the most fundamental, and most important change that you need to have. That's a change that involves admitting that you came short of God's standard, admitting the fact that you need to repent, and admitting that the only one who can really and truly help you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why change? Now, God is an amazing God, and he does wonderful things for people. For you and for me, every one of us in this room, whether you believe it or not. And I just like to think about two of those reasons tonight. One is a very negative reason, and it's called the lake of fire. And unless you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, that's your destination. The Lord Jesus made it very clear that that's not a place you want to be. It's a place where the worm does not die, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, that's one motivation to change. The second motivation is what we had and what we just sung about in number 8. And it's this, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my Lord, shouldst die for me? He died for you. He died for you. Will you take him as your Lord and Savior and experience that change that I read about in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the first and most important change that you need to make. It's a change that God makes inside you. He sends his Spirit to dwell within you when you accept his Son as your Savior. And those are two very fundamental and basic reasons why you should change. One, because of the love of Jesus Christ for you. And two, because of that lake of fire. So the Lord has given you two huge incentives. One, the threat of punishment, and two, even greater, His love that He has for you. And now the second thing that I want to look at is found in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. Go back page or two. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now this is the change in me and in you that I want to spend a little bit of time on tonight, just thinking about change. And it has to do with this. The Spirit comes and lives inside us, God's Spirit. And it says here that He's working at changing us, transforming us into the image that we see when we gaze at the Lord. And I wanted to think about that. We're here to spend the next 2 days with the Word of God open. And where do you see the Lord Jesus but here? If you're going to gaze on His face, it's going to be in the pages of this book. In Rio Ferry, we've just taken up the life of Joseph. What does that have to do with Jesus? Well, He's one of the most beautiful types of Jesus in the Old Testament. And you can meditate on Joseph and his life and the picture it is of Christ for a long time. The Spirit of God wants us to be thinking about the Lord Jesus and who He is. And I've mentioned in the first change that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God has one standard against which He measures, and that's His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that perfect man that came into this world. And that's the same measure that He's measuring you and I, who are Christians, who are changed already, have that new creation against. He's measuring. And the Spirit of God is working to make that transformation in our lives. Now, I want to think about that, because sometimes you work in your backyard. Some of you are carpenters, and some of you are masons. And I know I've got some practical experience laying patio stones, similar to what's on the floor here. And what you have to do first is you have to get it level. And I'm not a carpenter, so the way I do it isn't necessarily the best way, but I put down two straight sticks, and then I run another stick across the top. And I look to see anywhere that stick hits a bump. Well, I take my rake and I rake the high spot down. And I rake all the high spots into the low spots until it's all flat. After it's compacted and formed, and once I get it all flat, then I can put my patio stones down. And I'd like to draw that as an analogy, that that's what the Spirit of God is doing in our lives once we become Christians. He's conforming us not just to a flat surface, but to the lovely, beautiful image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's conforming us and molding us against that standard. He's comparing and seeing, where is there a shortfall? Where do we need to add a little bit more? Where do I need to take something off? And how does He do that? Well, iron sharpens iron, and so that's what our friends are for, the proverb teaches us. So sometimes our friends give us something to think about, and they encourage us. And sometimes we rub up against our friends, our brethren, and you know, something gets knocked off, and maybe I have something to learn because I got crossways to some of my brethren. But take all of that, the Spirit of God is working in us to form us into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus. And that's what He's working to achieve. Now, when we think about change, okay, and changing ourselves, what we need to do is look at that standard, the Lord Jesus Christ, and understand and think about it. Everything that we read in this book is about His Son, the Lord Jesus, one way or another. And we need to think about what we've read. And we need to think about what we hear over the next few days. And we need to measure everything we hear by the Word of God. And then we need to measure ourselves by that Word, by that same Word, and to determine what needs to change. What does the Lord want us to do? As we sing some of those songs that are based on the Word of God, they're very challenging to sit there and sing those songs. What have you for me? I gave all this for thee. What have you for me? It doesn't matter what age we are or what stage we're at. We can't change our past. We can learn from it, but we can't change it. But we can change tomorrow. And so think about that as you go through your life. The choices that you make on a daily basis, are they according to the Word of God, to the principles that are here in this book? Or are they according to some worldly principle? The choices that you make on a daily basis, are they strictly for self-pleasure? Or are they made like the Lord Jesus made His choices, to please God, to please His Father? And so that's the standard that we're measured against. And we need to make that change. Why? For the same motivation as why we should be saved. Because He loved me and gave Himself for me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And just to think, we judge this, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That they which live should not henceforth live for themselves, but for Him that died for them and rose again. And that leads me to the third and last change that I want to talk about tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is a wonderful change that we're looking forward to. To think that someday soon we will see our Savior face to face for the first time. We'll see the marks in His hands and His feet and His side. And you know, right now, though we've never seen Him, our hearts, when we think about Him, rejoice. And Peter described it as joy unspeakable, full of glory. But what will it be to be changed, to be having a body that's transformed to be like His glorious body, to have that intimate, precious, first-time look at the beloved Savior? What will it be to dwell above and with the Lord of glory reign? And so this is what we have to look forward to. This is a third change that I wanted to talk about tonight. It's a change over which we have no control. God Himself knows the timing, and the Lord Jesus is waiting just for Him to say that He can come and call us. Maybe it'll be tonight. Maybe sometime this weekend. What a day. What a glorious day that'll be when we see Him. So think about it. Change is something that's inevitable in life. It happens all around us. But have you made that first change? Have you changed to God's side? Has He made that change in you? Made you a new creation? Given you that new life we were talking about in Christ. Once you have that new life and you've made that change, if you haven't, make it tonight. What about the change the Spirit of God wants to make in you and me on a daily basis? Are we going to seek that change? Am I going to try and change and understand what God wants to do in my life, what He wants to make me into, the image of His Son? And then what we all have to look forward to, who have Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord. That transition. From here, from a mortal body, into the glory. To the Father's house, to be there forever. Let's just pray. Our God and our Father, we come to Thee now and ask that as we go through this weekend, if Thou dost leave us here, we ask that we may indeed profit from it, that we might be hearers of the Word and not doers as well as hearers, and that there may indeed be a change in our lives as a result of this weekend. We pray that we might be conformed to the image of His life, that we might be transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ and not conformed to this world. And we just pray, our God and Father, that Thou wouldst bless each one this evening and thank Thee for the gift of Thy beloved Son. And again, one more time, we would ask that if there's someone here that has never accepted the Lord Jesus, that Thou wouldst touch their heart tonight, that they might accept Him as their Savior. We ask this in His precious name. Amen.